chapter 13 of Genesis. This morning's study title is The Choice That Changed the Future. Genesis chapter 13. We have many choices to make each and every day. It starts with what to wear and what to eat in the morning. To ladies, that's a big problem, what to wear. Right, ladies? I've seen my daughter going through an entire closet before she walked out the door. For guys, same thing. Yesterday, the day before yesterday, same shirt, walk out the door. As long as it doesn't smell so bad, it's okay. However, there's some choices that are really important, such as where you live, what kind of job you have, whom you marry, most of all, where you're going to spend your eternal life. See, the Bible is filled with people who have made good choices and bad choices. Let's start with the good choices. People who made good choices. Start with Moses. Moses made a good choice because he chose to stay with the Israeli people even though he had all the luxuries that offered by the carnal Egypt. And Joseph made a good choice because he chose to obey God's word and stay pure in spite of the temptation that happens left and right every morning by Mrs. Potiphar. And there is another, my favorite guy, Daniel. He chose to stay in worship, continuously worship God in spite of threat from the enemy. And there is a choice made by people that is a terrible choice, starting with Samson. I call him the strongest wimp in the world because he had all the power, anointing from God. But however, he chose to dwell in the arms of Delilah, and he lost his sight, literal sight, and he lost anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I think of King Saul. He was head and shoulders taller than anyone in Israel. He was handsome from head to toe. However, he was depending on his own strength and so much that he lost his kingdom. Last one, but not the least, Judas. He made a bad choice. He chose to take 30 shekels of silver instead of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he lost eternal life. Choices are constantly before us. And some choice literally will change our future. When God created us, he created a physical and spiritual being with the free will in our heart. Whatever the choice we make, God will honor us. We can make a good choice that will change our eternal life, or we can make a bad choice that will haunt us the rest of our lives. And there's a people who will say, well, I'm not making choice. However, when you say, I'm not making choice, that is your choice. Just like there's a sin of commission as much as there's a sin of omission, which means I'm not going to do it, so that becomes a sin. There's such a thing as like that. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your word to penetrate our heart. Don't let it be just another word coming into ears and going out to another side of ear. Let it ring in our heart, and that word change our heart to please you, to glorify you, to exalt your name. Let us make the right choices all the days of our lives to please you. And we especially lift up our troops and around the world. We are asking your hand to be upon them and keep them safe. And especially we lift up those two fallen Marines and their comrades and their families. Comfort them, Lord. And we lift up our law enforcement around the community. We are asking your hand to be upon them also that they may be safe and they may come to know Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Verse 1 of chapter 13 in Genesis. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and the Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, in gold. He went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, and to the place, underline this place, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai. And continued on the line to the place, the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Okay, would you put the map up, please? Thank you. This blue line is the journey that Abram made all the way down to the Egypt here. And he's coming back to here between Bethel on the left side, west side, and Ai on the right side. Bethel is known as house of God. Remember that? And also Ai is known as what? Heap of ruin. And from here, there's the situation happening. Christians who get entangled with the world cannot be happy until they come back to the place and repentance and confession of their sins to God. Once they do that, they can start brand new. However, they cannot dwell in the sin and say, I'm repenting. Just like Abram could not stay in Egypt and say, I'm turning to God. Remember I said before, Egypt represents world, carnal world in the Bible. So he cannot stay in the carnal world and say, I'm confessing my sin, I'm repenting. He had to go back to where he left Jesus, where he left God. So he came back to the Bethel, the house of God, and starting from there again. All right. This is a very good principle for any Christian who fall away from God, need to come back to where they left God. This is the place. When he came back, he didn't gain anything good from Israel, from Egypt. There's two things lost and two things gained that is not necessary. I'm going to go over that thing, please. The first thing is lost time. While he was traveling in Egypt, while he was dwelling in Egypt, in land of carnal area place, he didn't gain anything. He lost time. And the second thing he lost is he lost testimony. Remember, Abram deceived Pharaoh. This is my sister. That's supposed to be his wife. He said, so to save his own hide, he said, this is my sister. Can you imagine Abram trying to give a testimony about God to Pharaoh, whom he just deceived? It doesn't work. So that's a testimony of Jesus Christ, testimony of God, Jehovah God, just gone down the drain. Someday, we will stand in the presence of God, judgment seat of Christ. And we will find out how many people went to hell because of the bad testimony of the carnal Christian. Maybe it might be yours, it might be mine. We are responsible for that bad testimony. And then there's two things he gained, unnecessary things from the carnal Egypt. Second, the one is Hagar's presence in the family. Hagar is the maidservant they picked up from Egypt. What's the big deal about having another maidservant? No big deal for just another maidservant. However, this one is the one Sarah used to have another offspring they thought they couldn't have. If she was not there, Sarah may not have the scheme of her own. Instead of depending on God, they came up with their own conclusion. This was not necessary. Not only that, we're going to talk about this Hagar and Ishmael, her son, down the road, but just for the preview, this is the ancestor of the Arab nation. Thanks to Hagar and Ishmael, we have the many problems with the Arab people. Fourth thing, another one that he gained, is a Lot's enjoyment in Egypt. What about it? Lot got a taste of Egypt. In other words, the light got the taste of a carnal world. Abram took the Lot out of Egypt, but however, he could not take the Egypt out of Lot's heart. We are told by Jesus we can be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Do you understand me? We are living in the world, but we don't have to act like a carnal people. We are supposed to be godly people. We're supposed to think noble things. We're supposed to think godly things. We act godly things. And a lot of times, we rather please our own fleshly desire, our carnal desires, so we do exactly what the rest of the world people do. That's what happened. And let's continue, verse 5. Lot also, who went with Abram, had a flock and a herd and a tent. Now the land was not able to support them, and they might dwell together, for their possession was so great, they could not dwell together. Then there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram, the livestock, and herdmen of Lot's livestock. Underline and notice the next phrase, please. Canaanite and Perizzite then dwell in the land. Lot was walking in the flesh, and Abram is walking in the spirit. And always there's a conflict when there's two people who are not right in the spirit. And yes, there is outside reason is the increased wealth, but the bottom line is a lot of carnality and unbelief. Jesus Christ is the divider. Don't think that Jesus is the peacemaker. You know, some New Age people think that Jesus is love and he brings all peace to people. No, he doesn't. As a matter of fact, he said he didn't bring peace to the people. We'll visit that verse a little bit later. His presence, mere presence, brings the conflict between the man and within the same family. This conflict between Abram and Lot must be burdened to the Abram and the Sarah. So this, and also this is poor testimony to the people, these Canaanites and the Perizzites. Folks, when the Christian, among the Christian, there's a lawsuit or the church split, that become a mockery to the non-believers. When we are at each other's throat, and that become a mockery, and that become a bad testimony to one another. However, listen carefully. Sometimes you hear me that going after the false doctrine, is that wrong? No, that is not wrong. As the Bible teacher, as your pastor, I have to reveal those people who give you false doctrine to the people, false teaching to the people. So it is my requirement for me to tell. But I'm not going after themselves. I'm going after their doctrines. Do you know the difference? Okay. Let's go to the Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew 10, verse 34. This is what Jesus said with his own mouth. 10:34. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but sword. He will divide the people. He will divide the people to one side to carnal, another side as a spiritual." Let's continue in verse 8 of chapter 13 in Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. And if you take the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left." Abram enjoyed the friendship with God. Meanwhile, Lot was enjoying his friendship, making a friendship with the world. Let's go to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3, and you're thinking, Amos, is that in one of the books in the Bible? Yeah, it is. It's a minor prophet. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" That's not the only verse. I'm sure you guys know this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And some of you already know where I'm going for this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? So if you are a believer, you have no business getting married and going out with non-believers. If you are a Christian businessman, believer in Christ Jesus, think twice before you make a partnership with a non-believing businessman, because you guys cannot work together. You're starting from different foundation. James 4 warned us, and the friendship with the world is enmity against the word of God, against the God. And this is case in point. Because his last carnal desire, he was dragging Abrams down. This is the reason, time to time, we should check our relationship with the people and our friendship with our friends. I'm not saying that Christians, the believers, should live in the island and where the non-believers are around. If that's the case, how the non-believers will get to know the gospel of Jesus Christ? As I said before, we can be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. When you hang around with that particular person, does your spirit get lifted up because of that person, or your spirit get dragged down? Think about it. I used to work for the Yellow Page company as a graphic designer. Now, there are several people who claim themselves as a born-again Christian, and they act anything but Christian-like. And they cuss just like the rest of people, and they drink and smoke and chew whatever, just like the rest of the carnal people. And they go watch the R-rated movie just like the rest of people. What are they different? Nothing. And what kinds of testimony do they give to the non-believers? Nothing. I'm sure you can think of a few of your family members and your relative who live carnal life, even though they are born-again Christian. They are the one who has formal godliness but denying its power. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen those people who claim themselves as a born-again Christian, but they are not acting like a Christian. Abram is a godly man. He tried to settle this problem by yielding himself and giving choice to Lot first. However, what Lot wants, what he can see. Whatever the Lot get and whatever the leftover he get, Abraham knew that God's going to make it up. He is depending on God more than what he can see. Abraham doesn't have to be obsessed with the right. We don't even have to obsess with our own right. As a matter of fact, our own right is one thing. We deserve hell. But God chose to give us more than we can possibly imagine. Let's continue in verse 10. And the Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah, like a garden of the Lord. Underline next phrase, please. Like the land of Egypt. As you go toward the Jordan. And the Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and he separated from them, from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. Next phrase on the line, pitched his tent as far as Sodom. But the man of Sodom was exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. This is 3D map I rendered. Here's a Bethel, here's a Ai. It's a kind of mountain ridge. And as he goes down to this is Jordan Valley, this is Jordan River, and this is the Dead Sea. This is all plain. It's a beautiful, rush area. beautiful for the livestock and sheep and the cows. So this is what he saw, and he wanted that place. However, this is a leading and way down here. You will see another map that leading to the Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, we should walk by faith, not by sight. While if Abraham is walking by faith, Lot is walking by sight. Abraham made the right choice, and Lot made a horrible choice. And that is going to affect him and make a terrible direction. And when we get into sin, we don't get into sin overnight. We go one piece at a time. We're pretty much setting ourselves for fall. And we're setting ourselves for the trap that we cannot get out. We can turn away. When we make a choice, we have to make a choice with God in mind. Please remember what I just said. Whenever we make a choice, whether it seems it's big or important or not, we have to make a choice with God in mind. Remember what I just asked you on the line, and like a land of Egypt. This is the last point of reference. His point of reference is comparing this Jordan River that we just saw as like a land of Egypt. That's his point of reference. What is your point of reference? What are you desiring for? What am I desiring for? Carnal things in the world offers, or the holy and righteous things that God offers? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. This reminds me of this particular verse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. This is a scene from the Garden of Eden where the Satan, who disguised himself as serpent, and came to Eve and trying to deceive Eve. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a Remember I asked you on the line, it's pleasant to our eyes, and the tree is desirable to make one wise, that's another thing, and took it took of its fruit and ate it. She also gave it to the husband with her, and he ate it. Folks, this is a typical three bait Satan always offers to us. Lust of eyes, lust of flesh, and the pride of life. She sought, lust of eyes, desirable in her heart, pride of life, and taste in her mouth, lust of flesh. Jesus, there's another one who was tempted beyond what anyone can handle. He was tempted the exact same way. However, he used the word to rebuke and to fight against the Satan effectively. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. I can comfortably tell you all the temptations start from the eyes, lust of eyes, and ends at the pride of life. Verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world and the love of Father is not in him, for that is in the world and the lust of flesh, lust of eyes, and lust of pride of life. It's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Lot moved himself and his family toward close to Sodom, which is the south side of the here. So they started from the Bethel and Ai, and he moved to the Jordan Valley and moved all the way down, about 5 miles down to the Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom right here and Gomorrah right here. You don't find the place there because God demolished every piece of it. We will know more about it in chapter 19. Separation from the Lot is a great thing for Abraham. However, it's not good for the Lot. Why? Because that was the only spiritual source he could get. When the person who is a carnal Christian walk away from the fellowship of Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the body of Jesus Christ, that person will most likely will completely fall away from God. And if you're thinking that I can handle it all by myself, you are fooling yourself. One of the frequent excuses that I find from those who are living together. Listen carefully, please. Those who are living together before their marriage, they say that we cannot afford to live separately. Tell you what. You hear this from me. If you really honor God, move out. Church will pay for your rent for a couple months. As long as you stay clean, pure, next couple months you get married. Well, church will pay for the rent. Okay? You know what the answer I usually get from the people? They say, no can do. Finance is not the problem. They don't want to follow God. And there are some people who will say, please help me. Let me stay pure for God. I want to honor God. Then I'll help them. Don't come up with an excuse. You have a choice to make. You want to please God or you don't please God. If you're a carnal Christian, the last thing you would like to hear is this kind of sermon. Again, you have a choice to make. You have three choices to make. Number one, you can say yes to God. Honor God. Number two, you can say no, blatantly no, and you walk out. Third choice, you don't make a choice. But when you make a no choice, you're saying the same thing as no to God. It's not just living together. It's not just, smoking or drinking or anything like that. You know where your heart is. I know where my heart is. Are we always clean? Are we always sinless? Absolutely not. You kidding? We're living with the sinful nature. We sin. However, we can sin less. We can bring the good testimony to the non-believers around us. Trust me, people will not pick up the Bible and start to read and become a Christian out of blue. We are the Bible they're going to read. How are we going to represent Jesus Christ to them? What kind of testimony are we giving to them? Let's continue in verse 14. And the Lord said to Abram, and after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now to look from the place there where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. All that the land which you see I give to you and your descendant forever, and I will make your descendant as the dust of the earth, so that if the man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendant also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went, dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which were the Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. While the Lot was getting farther from the Lord, and Abram is getting close to the Lord. While he was becoming the friend of the world, Abram is becoming the friend of God. While the Lot is took a part of the land, Abram was given the whole land. People in the world claim that what their eye can see. But the godly people should claim with what God's eye can see. Remember what the word says. What we see is temporal, but what we don't see is eternal. Remember also this, what I said this before. God will give the best to those who leave a choice to Him. If you trust Him, He will give you the best. The word memory means the vision, and Hebron means communion. So Abram is once again walking in God's vision for him in communion with Him. Abram built an altar. He lived a life in the constant awareness and need for the sacrificing atonement and the covering. As I said before, we have choices. A lot of choices. Small choices, important choices, non-important choices. Some choices seem like unseemingly important. No big deal, right? However, those little choices end up become big choice. Gentlemen and ladies, erosion never happens overnight. It happens small amount at a time. If you let go, as I said before, if you give an inch to Satan, he will be ruler. We all have a choice to make this morning. You can choose to come close to God, or you can choose to walk out the door and do whatever you want to do. He will honor you no matter what. Let's make an application. Number one, whatever we bring with us from the godless world into the Christian life will ultimately cause us trouble. Please remember, whatever we bring into our Christian life from the godless world will cause us problem. Second one, when we make choices, we must make them with God in mind. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. This is the reason why we have to make a choice with God in mind. Be sober and be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Third application, we must remember that even a small and seemingly unharmful choices at the beginning can bring the devastating result to us. Fourth application, we must remember that our carnal desire wants to satisfy the lust of eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. Let's go to James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, 4. If you haven't got it, anything today, get this portion, please. Adulterer and adulteress, in James 4, 4 says, do you not know the friendship with the world is enmity with God? That means enemy against God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, make himself enemy of God. Let's stand up and pray.